Good evening and welcome to worship here at the table on this beautiful candlelight Christmas Eve. My name is Matt, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as the co-pastors for this community, and it is such a gift to be together on the beauty of this night with you all. We were reminded as we were gathering earlier at 5, and gifts were just overflowing for Lutheran Social Services and for Creation District, with whom we're collaborating this Christmas season to share gifts to help young people who are experiencing homelessness stay warm and stay dry. And it was amazing to have those piled up and to have all of these chairs filled up and to have an overflow room down the hall. We have been at this for 15 years and we've never needed an overflow room. I didn't know what that was. But Debbie is amazing, and Debbie and Sarnit started to think about this, and they had folks on live stream in the room down the hall because there was no room in the inn. And here we are. So it is a gift to be together as we move toward the beauty and mystery of Christmas together in this space. Our hope is that as you arrived, you were able to receive one of these candles, and we'll use those later in worship as we move together on this night. And also, especially for our young friends, we have some fabulous stickers and some binders in the back, and we encourage you, actually, young friends of any age, if you would like to work with those, you are welcome to. They're in the back of the sanctuary. And as always, there are places around this sanctuary that we hope will invite you into a deeper place of prayer, and you're welcome to move to those if at any time you feel led. I will note, as we move into worship tonight, we'll continue standing for the early part of this, and if you're in a space where you've had a longer day and this is way late for you, feel free to just do you and be seated when you need to. But I'll invite us to rise in body or spirit as you're willing and able. And I'll invite you to move together with me in this call and response that will guide us into this candlelight Christmas Eve. I will be one, and I invite us to join our voices together on all. Let us be in a spirit of prayer. In those days, in the beginning, Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. He was to be registered, and she was expecting a child. The time came for Mary to give birth, so she delivered her child, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger. And the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all whom God favors." Let us worship our with us God. Let us sing songs of praise. Amen. We will do just that by moving into O Come All You Faithful, and I invite you to join our voices with our music team as we do.
Oh,
Amen. I'll invite us to remain standing as we continue to move with another call and response as we move toward lighting the Christ candle together this night. So let us be in a spirit of prayer, and we'll move back and forth in this time. In a weary and worn world, how do we begin again? Where do we start? Let us begin with hope. Let us begin with peace. Let us begin with joy. Let us begin with love. Yes, let us begin with love, for surely love knows your name. Today, in addition to the candles of hope and peace and joy and love, we light the Christ candle. For surely God is in this place. Surely the Spirit is near. Surely love knows our name. May we rest in that good news. Unto us a child is born. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Amen. We'll continue to move, and I invite you to join our voices and hark the herald angels sing.
You to remain standing. My name is Melissa Jacobs, and I am a member of the Administrative Board. Our first reading this evening comes from the prophet Isaiah. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We will continue to move in worship on this beautiful night with joy to the world.
I invite you to remain standing. My name is Justine Wright. I'm happy to bring you the second reading. This evening, it's coming from the Gospel of Luke, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the Revised Standard Version. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place in the guest room. Now, in that same region, there were shepherds living in fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the Lord, in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel and a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them, and Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Amen. I invite you to be seated.
Thanks, Justine. Our Christmas offering this year at the table, we've developed a custom really over the last 15 years as we've moved as a community of faith here in this space where we divide our Christmas offering in two ways to support ministries that we believe are doing vital and critical work in the world, the hands and the feet of God. And one of those is always here in Sacramento and one is beyond. And so this year, I want to share just a little bit about our Christmas offering to invite you into that with us. It will be divided between the United Methodist Committee on Relief and their response efforts to natural disasters, and then also to our local refugee resettlement agency, which is called Opening Doors. And we want you to know a little bit more about both of these important ministries. So first, we have just a very short video, an introduction for those that aren't familiar with the United Methodist Committee on Relief disaster response work. We hope that this will be an introduction for all of us.
When Hurricane Helene struck, it left devastation and heartbreak. But through the United Methodist connection, hope arrived. United Methodists are providing food, water, and essential supplies, clearing debris from homes and churches, providing access to solar power. You can be part of this response too. Pray for families whose lives have been upended. Serve by making relief kits. Give to support recovery efforts. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus, walking alongside those who are suffering. To learn more or to give, visit umcmission.org.
And so half of our offering this Christmas will go to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And because of the generous giving for communities and by communities like this one and those around the globe, the administrative costs of that work are all covered by our churches. And that means that 100% of your Christmas offering in that way goes directly to those who are in need. The other half of our Christmas offering this year will be going to support Opening Doors to welcome refugees and migrants. And here is a short introduction on the ways that they are reaching in love to resettle families here in our own community.
We have the situation where this child has been separated from his family. During the crisis, when Afghans were being evacuated as the Taliban took back over Kabul, that folks were just being rushed and stuffed into planes, right? And so I can only imagine what this child went through. He came here, had no family, no relatives that he could live with, so he was placed in the foster care system. And he's been waiting to be reunited with his family.
And I believe he was only 11 years old when he got to the plane, and his parents and siblings were left behind at the airport.
They thought the Taliban found him or found out that his dad was working for the previous government. They were just very scared.
Imagine they left everything and all they have is his dad's suitcase. These folks start their life again from zero. There's nothing that they can retrieve back from back home. They have no choice but to leave the country. They cannot stay in their country and be alive.
Be able to find the full video on Opening Doors, but I want to say just the word. That young child who was separated from their family in the chaos of that airport found their way to an evacuation flight, and then 2 years later, they were resettled here to California, actually to Southern California, before finally connecting with Opening Doors and being reunified with their own family. We follow a God in our Christ tradition who would become a refugee as well at the age of two, would be forced to flee with family. And so we are called as people of faith to express hospitality and welcome to migrants. Our scripture itself is a story by migrants to migrants. And so we are called to live in those ways. And we will have an opportunity later in worship when we hope you'll join with us in giving generously to support those two organizations. And you can do that through our website, and we'll have those details as we move in worship. But first, we want to turn to a song which might help us to allow the depth of our own Christ tradition to sink into our night together. This is our music team sharing Take Me to the Alley by Gregory Porter.
Well, they gild their houses in preparation for the king, and they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, "Take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted one. To the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden, you will have a pardon. Take me to the afflicted
Amen. I'm going to invite our musicians to move down. There's so much of me that would just like to stay right where we are. And I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, for your love that stirs our hearts on nights like this, nights that we set apart as holy, but the truth is every night is one of those nights. So may your grace embolden our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our souls to show up in the world as and when within the peace that you would long for us to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be in alignment with your good news for this night. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. On December the 30th, 1924, so exactly 100 years ago, this coming Monday, the astronomer Edwin Hubble announced the discovery of the very first galaxy outside of our own Milky Way. And it was 15 years ago, as we were beginning to plant the table, that scientists believed at that moment that there were now 200 billion galaxies. Now, after the New Horizons space probe, we think there are 2 trillion galaxies. It's just stunning. This is the world we inhabit. The beauty, the generosity, the grandeur of God in the expanse of these galaxies expanding. Our children wonder about the mystery of God in a ministry at the table that we call Godly Play. Many of the stories that they encounter take place in a desert box. Our storytellers move the desert box into the very center of their Godly Play sanctuary upstairs, and the children are gathered in a circle. And the storyteller shares something like this: there are so many wonderful and important things that happened to the people of God in the desert that we need to know what the desert is like. And we can't take the whole desert and bring it into the Godly Place sanctuary, so we have just a little piece of the desert to help us touch it, know what it's like. One of the stories that our children experience that takes place in the desert is called The Great Family. It's the story from the book of Genesis of Abram and Sarai leaving home to learn that all of God is indeed everywhere they journey. The storyteller shares, sometimes at night, Abram would go out to the edge of the desert and look out across the sand and up into the sky, and then God came so close to Abram. And Abram came so close to God that Abram knew what God wanted him to do. And the story closes with this beautiful image. Looking at the children, the storyteller shares, now you are part of that great family, which has become as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand in the desert. I experienced something very much like this a few years back, not at the edge of a desert, but actually right here in this space on Christmas Eve. It was just after midnight, and everyone had gone home after our last service on that Christmas Eve ended. I turned off the lights in the sanctuary and made sure that the doors were closed there and started to make my way around the building, and I paused in the brisk cold, walking to the car, and I looked out across the luminarias that were still lit that many of you saw as you came into this space. And in that moment, I felt God coming so close to me, and I felt myself coming so close to God. Like anyone that's had an experience like that, you can't really put words around it. But I was somehow both absolutely alone and also anything but alone. I found myself in awe of the stars, the trillions of galaxies stretching through the heavens. And in that moment, looking up on that silent night, I felt the creator of the stars of night deep in my own bones. The Word who called the world into being became a wordless child. This is one of the peculiar scandals of our Christ tradition. On this holy night, we're invited to remember and to celebrate, to delight in the creator of the stars of night, bringing those very stars into the bones of a baby in Bethlehem, ensuring those stars can be touched, can be held as a baby is held, can be felt in our own bones, our own bodies. A deacon in the Episcopal Church named Vicki Black writes about it like this. She says, in historical time, Christmas happened over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. In theological time, Christmas happens now, in the mystery of God choosing to dwell within humankind, a mystery that transcends all time. Each of us, unique, as each star in the sky is unique. And no matter how insignificant we might feel at times, or no matter how insignificant too many people have been made to feel, often at the hands of the loudest voices in the name of Jesus, the love born at Christmas in Bethlehem never loses the unique gift that is the star of who you are. In the vastness of the galaxies, this love still knows your particular name, calls us by name, cherishes the stars in our bones. We're surrounded in the sanctuary this evening by quilts that are on loan from Karen Morrison. Karen is part of our community of faith here at the table, and she's a stunningly amazing quilter. And we've been reflecting as a community over these last 4 weeks on quilting as a metaphor for faith and for sharing in life together, in community. Like the stars, each quilt, each block even, is unique. And I confess that I don't have much experience at all with quilting. So I've been learning as much as I can from Karen and Pastor Linda, who loves all things fiber arts. I've been trying to learn as much as I can from them over these weeks, and perhaps this too is a little bit of what faith is like. We're always learning, and when we're not, we're probably not being very faithful at all. Karen shared with me, a quilt is fundamentally a hug you can leave behind. It is layers of love. Along with the beautiful quilts around us, we also, as a community, have been taking time in worship each Sunday over these last weeks that the church calls Advent to create a quilt together. And many of you might not know, but that quilt now is right before you. It's on top of the very table that holds our communion elements. You all work quick. You didn't know you were quilters? Woo. Karen shared this about quilting. We're going to come back to this quilt in a moment. But Karen shared this. She said, a quilt takes elements that may seem completely different and can bring them together in an unexpected and beautiful way that you can touch and exist with. And I would offer that we might be able to say something similar about Christmas. God takes elements that may seem completely different, the stars of the heavens and the flesh of our bodies, and brings them together in an unexpected and beautiful way that you can touch and live with, exist with. A United Methodist pastor and poet who lives in Florida, her name is Jan Richardson. She writes about this in A Christmas Blessing that is more beautiful than anything I could ever imagine writing myself, and so I hope that her blessing will be a gift for all of us. Her blessing is called, How the Stars Get in Your Bones. Sapphire, diamond, emerald, quartz, think of every hard thing that carries its own brilliance, shining with the luster that comes only from uncountable ages in the earth, in the dark, buried beneath unimaginable weight, bearing what seemed impossible, bearing it still. And you, shouldering the grief you had thought so solid, so impermeable, the terrible anguish you carried as a burden, now become, who can say what day it happened? A beginning. See how the sorrow in you slowly makes its own light, how it conjures its own fire. See how radiant even your despair has become in the grace of that sun. Did you think this would happen by holding the weight of the world, by giving in to the press of sadness and time? I tell you, this blazing in you, it does not come by choosing the most difficult way, the most daunting. It does not come by the sheer force of your will. It comes from the helpless place in you that, despite all, cannot help but hope. The part of you that does not know how to not keep turning toward this world, to keep turning your face toward this sky, to keep turning your heart toward this unendurable earth, knowing your heart will break, but turning it still. I tell you, this is how the stars get in your bones. This is how the brightness makes a home in you. As you open to the hope that burnishes every fractured thing it finds and sets it shimmering, a generous light that will not cease, no matter how deep the darkness grows, no matter how long the night becomes still, 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 the secret of secrets keeps turning in you, becoming beautiful, becoming blessed, kindling the luminous way by which you will emerge, carrying your shattered heart like a constellation within you, singing to the day that will not fail to come. Friends, the stars in the heavens are in our bones. On this holy night, we're here together to open to the hope that burnishes every fractured thing it finds and sets it shimmering. The quilt that we've been working on together holds a beautiful surprise to help us remember, to see, to feel, even to touch and exist with this deep Christmas truth. See, I suspect that some were shouldering grief as they gathered around tables in the back of the sanctuary and outside these last weeks to create this quilt. They came carrying grief to that table. And others, perhaps someone standing right beside, they came not with sorrow or despair, but they bumped and overlapped from a place of feeling a delight and joy. And then Karen, practicing a tenderness.
It'd be so cool to see what it really looks like.
And the final quilt's darkness slowly gives way to a brightness as a reminder of how God stitches our sorrows and joys into a larger tapestry of grace and redemption. So I'm very excited to share with you a surprise tonight. The quilt that we've been creating doesn't just weave the evocative colors of Advent into the beauty and mystery of Christmas. Within the pattern of the quilt itself is a surprise. The pattern of our quilt includes a most beautiful and awe-inspiring star. It's here, and I know, I'm not sure if we can get it on the screen at all, John. There we go. Thank you. So we have it now on the screen and in front of us. It's our hope that this quilt, with its beautiful star, will be a hug for those who gather at Christmas here into the future. It is layers of love to remind us that indeed, Emmanuel, God, is with us. And like that holy night in which I looked up into the stars and felt the vastness of God in my own bones, we also have some gifts to share with you all tonight. We could not figure out how to bring 2 trillion galaxies into the sanctuary, but we did figure out how to bring stars to share together with you all. Several weeks ago, Karen gathered with a group of us in the fireside room, which is just down the hall, and she showed us something that she'd been working on, and perhaps something like how the shepherds in the fields heard the news and then shared it with others. Those gathered that evening saw the star that Karen had been working on and then learned from one another how they could create these. And then they invited others to join them in creating them. And we gave away 300 and some odd of them at 5 o'clock. And we have plenty of them for each of you to take home with you tonight. Perhaps something like this is how the good news started to spread that holy night in Bethlehem. We hope that these stars will be hugs that you can take into this night. Layers of love folded with care and intention by hands that you might never know, but hands which are intricately and intimately woven with your own story, with your life. For the love of the creator of the stars of night is always already deep in our bones. Love knows our names. Love knows your name. You, friend, are part of God's great family, which has become as many as the stars in the sky, as vast as the trillions of galaxies in the heavens, and as personal and vulnerable and tender and beautiful as a child you can touch. Christ is born this holy night. The stars of heaven stitched in the fabric of creation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Friends, Jesus was born into a world that tragically in that day and so often in this day turns people away. A world that shuts doors and closes hearts. A world that says in so many different ways, there is no room for you. Friends, in Jesus, God became a proud owner of a pulse and made reminding each of us that love knows our name, the job description for all time. The tax collectors and children, the Samaritan women, Jews and Gentiles, the sick, the outcast, those deemed unclean and those considered unworthy by the power structures of that day, Jesus reminded each and all that love knows our names. Jesus was always pulling up a seat, always saving space, making room for people, and he makes room for you. So we invite you to come to this table. Come with your faith. Come with your doubt, with your questions, with your hopes, with your grief, with your love. Come with all of the fragments that are who you are. Just come because there is room. There is room for you here. This is Christ's table. All are welcome. All truly means all. I invite you to stand in body or spirit. We too often lose our way. And we draw limits around God's love. or we just struggle to allow ourselves to be loved. So I invite you to join with me in this prayer of confession and let us share together with one voice. Loving Christ, when the shepherds heard that you were born, they dropped their things and ran. They trusted the angel's invitation. They believed that your love existed for them. We wish that we were more like that. Instead, somewhere between the angel's song and the manger, we tend to lose our way. We doubt ourselves. We doubt the invitation. We doubt that love could know our names. Remind us that your love is personal and specific. Remind us that the good news of this day is for us. With hope we sing, we pray, and we run. Amen. Friends, we gather this night to remember the angels are singing, "Unto you a child is born." It is a love that is personal. It is a love that knows your name. So hear and trust the good news of the gospel. You are seen, claimed. You are forgiven. You are loved. Let us join together. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God here and now. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, I invite us to join in the call and response to remember that the stars of the heavens are in the bones of our neighbors, all stitched together with God's love, just as they are in ours. The church calls this a passing of the peace. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with someone near to you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son. God's love, the Lord, open.
invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples that have been formed and reformed, passed through the generations and into this night. And we encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true within your own heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered in this moment and over the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. Friends, I invite you to be seated. Here at the table, we practice what we call an open communion table, which means you don't have to be a part of this church or this denomination to feel welcome to this space. This is God's table, and there are no restrictions. All are invited. We are all God's children, and short, we hope you feel the depth of the truth that you cannot make a mistake. Some of us make this a life practice, and some of us might be trying it for the first time. Some of us are feeling anxious because stuff that has come up from us or within us from years past leads us feeling uncertain in these moments of communion. And our hope is that you will hear the depth of God's love inviting you to this space, that there's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. The invitation is simply here from God to you. We encourage those who are gathering online to find whatever they'll be using, whatever you might be using for bread and for your cup in this time, and to join with us in this time the church calls Eucharist or Communion or Common Union. Around the sanctuary are places for us gathered here in person to pray. Jan has set up beautiful prayer stations. We commend those to you. We invite you to light candles, dancing in the beauty of this night for whatever prayers you might bring to this space. Our hope is that you also will consider our Christmas offering tonight about what generosity might look like for you, about the ways that you might be called to join with us in reaching in love and giving generously to support the United Methodist Committee on Relief and Opening Doors. As we share this time together, this time of communion and prayer, we also are going to offer a gift to you. So at our stations, in addition to the bread, on the platter, you'll find bread that was baked by Jean for us this weekend. And then also in the middle, you'll find a gluten-free option. And in the cup is always juice. And we invite you to take a piece of the bread and dip it in the juice. Next to that, we hope you'll find the star that might have your name and take that with you. And as we move in all of those ways, our musicians are going to share a song called Creator of the Stars of Night. For those that aren't familiar, this is a hymn that was actually written somewhere between the 7th and the 9th century. And so I'll just invite you then to hold this deep truth. The lyrics to this song date us all the way back in this moment. If you feel called to join your voice with our music team, we will be singing together a song on this holy night that was shared over 1,000 years ago by people gathering on another holy night. So as we practice radical generosity with our Christmas offering and receive the gift of stars as hugs to take into this night, may we trust and feel in the depth of our bones that love knows our name. Friends, this is the bread of life, the body of Christ. It's broken for you and for all of creation. And friends, this is the cup of God's love, forgiveness, and healing. It is poured out for you and for all. Come, the table is set. We invite you to join with us in this time of common union. Thank you. We encourage those praying with candles to be in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire in that space. Loving God, for the depth of the mystery of your love revealed to the world and made known in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread, we give you thanks for this night, this holy night, in which the stars and the heavens were brought into the bones of a baby in Bethlehem, into the very bones of our own bodies and lives. We offer you thanks. Bind us together in your love and call us to live as expressions of your healing and hope. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Friends, I want to invite you to find that candle that you were given as we arrived. And the way we're going to try this is we're going to take some time to pass the light of Christ from one to another, much like how the story of the good news was passed generations ago, much like how that song that came to us from over 1,000 years ago was passed to one generation to the next as we shared this and learned and found our way, much like the stars that came to you this night as a gift because one person taught another how to care in these ways. We'll pass that fragile light among us, and it'll dance in the midst of the beauty of this space. First, our musicians will open us up with a first verse of Silent Night. Just invite you to sink into that. And then they'll invite us to join our voices together with them, and we'll move around, and the lights will come down. You know what to do. And if you don't, we're in this together. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit. Friends, in Jesus, love has a name. As the light of God's love is passed one to another, as candles dance in the beauty of this night and as Silent Night is sung, let us hold close to the truth that love knows our name. Amen. Thank you. Friends, on this holy night, the creator of the stars of night brings the stars that stretch through the galaxies into the bones of a baby in Bethlehem and stitches our stories, our lives, with the deep truth of that redeeming love. Go in peace. Merry Christmas.